What I want to talk to you today about is creating a hole and then allow God to fill that hole. Yes. When Amy Simple McPherson built Angelus Temple, which is a beautiful church in L.A., they hadn't raised enough money to build the church, but they had raised enough money for the construction guys to come in and dig the hole for the foundation. And she told them, she said, don't wait for all the monies to come in. We're not going to wait. We're going to dig the hole, and God's going to fill that hole. And sure enough, God filled that hole, and it is a gorgeous church that God is using in a powerful way. Used it for many years, and he's still using it today. But what happens in our life is, in our life, we get really busy. And that busyness is an enemy to what God wants to do in your life. I'm gonna read some passages to you. I'm gonna read a story to you. And in this story, these people have excuses. When I was a freshman at Life Bible College, I was asked to do an assignment, a homework assignment. And the homework assignment was, on a piece of paper, write Monday through Friday, when you wake up, till you go to bed, and do it hour by hour, and just fill in what you do during the day. And do that for, Monday through Sunday, 7 days. And just the professor wanted to know, what does your day look like? So sure enough, I did the assignment and I filled it out. Monday, what I did. Tuesday, what I did. Wednesday, what I did. Thursday. And this is not, you know what? This is like a typical Monday and a typical Tuesday and typical Wednesday and typical Thursday, typical Friday, typical Saturday, typical Sunday. And in that week, and then I turned it into him. He looked at all the papers of all the students. And the paper that I gave him, he wrote something very obvious at the top of the paper. And he said, he just wrote this, where's your quiet time with God? Where's your quiet time with God? I was a freshman at Life Bible College. I wasn't a novice Christian. I'd been saved for many, many, many years. Loved God with all my heart. And yet the reality is, imagine this. Imagine how crazy this is. That I would turn in a piece of paper to the professor and have no time that I'm spending, no quiet time, not 10 minutes, not 20 minutes, not 30 minutes, not 5 minutes, no time throughout the day that I've allotted to God, to be quiet with God. Just him and me. And I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to say this, that I believe that I could say many, but I'll even go far enough to say I believe that that is typical of most Christians. It was typical in my life. Now, I don't know if it's typical in your life or not. That's between you and God. But at least allow God to speak to you today if, you know what, like they say, if the shoe fits, wear it. Yeah. Recognize God is not saying this. Listen, and he's not a condemning God. He's not saying this because he doesn't love you. He's saying this because he does love you. Listen to me, and I'll say this over and over and over again. The richest time in my day, the reason why my days are better now than they were before is because I allot a section of time in the morning for God and God alone. See, here's the reality. If you will dig a hole, God will fill that hole. If you allow a space of time where there's no iPad, there's no iPhone, there's no all the I gotta do all this stuff. Am I the only one who's got a lot of stuff to do in the week? All this, If you will take all that and push it aside and say, no, God, I'm creating a time hole, and in this time hole, no one gets this time. No one. It's a hole that I will give it to you, and here's what I'm saying. Watch what'll happen. The God of the universe is going to show up. I used to have a friend, and I didn't know this, Pastor George, growing up. I didn't know this when I grew up, but we were poor. And we just didn't know. We just didn't know we were poor. You know, when I got older, I thought, of course, that's why my mom, you know what, made us eat that 13-cent pot pies, because we were poor. And that's why my dad owned that station wagon that should have been thrown away like 10 years before that. But that's what we were. And I didn't know that. But every Christmas, we used to know this rich guy. And this rich guy would come in and he'd bring us kids presents. And they weren't, you know what I mean? But we were like, whoa, this is cool, because the rich guy's coming for Christmas. And he'd bring us some stuff, and it was exciting. Can I tell you what? Jesus is the rich guy. And when you open up your schedule and don't allow anyone else in that schedule except God, he comes with his riches. And his riches are riches of peace.
Yes, sir.
One of the first things I do, I say, God, I put on the shoes of peace in my life. Am I the only one who has a crazy, chaotic, busy, stuff going, a lot of balls in the air life? But every morning when I put, when I create that void of time, everybody say void of time. See, this is different. This is different than I'm at In and Out. I recognize that all good gifts come from the Father of Lights. He deserves to. I need to be thankful for everything, and I'm really thankful. How many like In and Out? Raise your hand if you like In and Out. Raise your hand if you eat sometimes halfway through the burger and you remember God. Try to remember him at the beginning. But anyway, my point is, it's different than that kind of prayer. That kind of prayer is important, and I think it's a great thing to teach your kids to be grateful in every meal, to thank God for that meal. It's part of recognizing all good gifts come from the Father of Lights. I think it's so, so important. But that's not what I'm talking about. It's not thank you for this food. How many ever recognize your prayers when you're hungry are shorter? Man, I can pray a fast prayer at In-N-Out, man. It's good. Thank you for this food. Amen. And that's a sincere prayer. Amen. And God likes it. Okay. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a time that I'm just saying, there's no rush. I'm not eating anything. I got no phones around me. I'm just going to create a hole. I'm just going to create this hole. And because I created this hole, here's what the Bible says. Blessed are those that are hungry. For those that are hungry, they're going to be filled. That's what Jesus comes. He comes and he, like a, you know what creates the vacuum in your, when you're vacuuming, you know what creates that? It's a void in that the bag. They've created a void of space, and the void, they do that with the motors pulling stuff out, that air out. And when it pulls the air out, that vacuum, that's what it is, makes that air rush in, that sucks up all your dirt and your carpet. That's what physiologically is happening. In the same way, spiritually. When you create a void in time, where you're not doing anything. See, how many know that's weird? I mean, besides you're sleeping, you're doing something all the time. But when you create this void that you say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to give God this time. I'm creating this void, and I'm just going to hang out with God and see what happens. Here's what happens. He'll come just like that air comes. He'll come, and he'll take up that time. And when he comes in to be in that hole, that void of time with you, he brings his peace. He brings his joy. He brings his healing. He brings his comfort. He brings everything that he is into you, and now your life gets marked better. And I'm talking about most people who go to church, not in verbally, but in actions. How many sometimes your verbal communication is different than who you really are? I'm not talking about what you say. I'm talking about what you do. And sometimes because we're not doing, see, the Bible says you're blessed in what you do. That's what the New Testament says. And when you create that void, God comes and fills that void just by the pure fact that you are honoring him and saying, I want to spend time with you. And he says, whoosh, I'll spend time with you. But when he spends time with you, he's bringing all these things that we need. Watch this. And when we don't, you say, Pastor, haven't you preached a sermon before? All kinds of times before. But the Holy Spirit says, teach it again today. Because there's people who are doing it, and you need to be encouraged. Don't grow weary in doing good. How many know the Lakers were winning the other day? Right? It doesn't mean they won. How many ever did some stuff? You were rocking it. You know, how many remember when you used to be skinny? Remember, you were on that diet. You were rocking it. Well, sometimes what I'm saying is the point that sometimes you start good, but that doesn't mean you've got to continue to do good to continue to walk in that blessing. Some of you doing good right now, and all this message is going to be is God saying, man, I'm proud of you. Keep it up. Some of you, God is going to say, man, today's the first day of the rest of your life. Your life could change tomorrow if you just create that void. Have you found your place in Luke chapter 14 yet? Luke chapter 14, and let's start in the 15th verse. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him, that's with Jesus, heard these things, he said to him, well, watch this, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. How many know it's not talking about eating nice Hawaiian bread with some butter on it? No, it's talking about when you eat, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In the Bible, one of the things that bread is used, a term is in the Word of God. And so he's saying, this person is blessed when he does, remember Mary? She sat at Jesus' feet, and she, you know what she was listening to? His words. And he said to Martha, Mary has chosen the right thing. You're in the kitchen making food, but your sister's blessed. You want me to tell her to get in line, but I'm not going to tell her to get in line because she's already in line. I'm going to tell you to get in line because she's doing the right thing. Verse 16, then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. Can I tell you what? Tomorrow morning, God has a great supper for you. And when he comes, he's going to bring the sweet bread. He's going to bring the barbecue beans. He's going to bring the ribs. He's going to bring all the, he's going to bring the cornbread. He's going to bring the sweet tea. You're going to have a good, he's going to bring the chimichangas and the salsa. Right? It's all coming. That is there for you tomorrow if you want it. A great supper, he invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make what? Excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Look at verse 31. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Can I tell you what? God is really aware of what you do every single day. And when we are too busy to God, he knows it and he takes note. Then the master of the house, notice this, being what?
Angry.
Being angry. Man, we need to hear that. See, sometimes we can create a God that isn't a real God. This tells you who God is. This is his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When people are too busy with their business, and they all got excuse. Oh, my wife, I can't tell you. All this excuse. You know, it's interesting to me that God, and just listen to what I'm saying, sometimes God blesses us, and the same thing, he blesses us with a wife, he blesses us with a husband, and now the very thing that he blesses us with, we say, oh, thank you for that blessing, and now I'm too busy for you. Watch this. Can I go deeper with this? Moms, are you ready for this? Sometimes he blesses us with kids. How many know kids are such a blessing? But can I tell you what? Watch it when your family, you know what, becomes an enemy to God. Because you have put them in front of God. Let me tell you what. You can't do that. It's an excuse. It's an excuse. You know what? Moms, you know what? Get up early. You know what? Dads, help the moms. Amen? I said, dads, help the moms. You know what? You can watch the kids for 20 minutes, for half an hour, so your wife can pray. You think if my wife came to me and said, hey, Drew, you know what? I need some time to pray. You know what? Can you watch the kids? There wouldn't be ever a day that I would say okay, because I know how important that is. And vice versa. Guys, we're a team. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I'm not, listen to me. This, oh my goodness, this needs to be preached. We're so afraid. You know what? We're so afraid as pastors to sometimes to teach the truth. And our people are desperate to hear the truth. You know, if you're married, I guarantee you, there is temptations many times for you to just slip out the back, Jack. You know what I mean? I'll make a new plan, Sam. You know, no need to be coy, Roy. Just be up front and say, I'm out of here. Right? There's opportunities to do that. But let me remind you, God, and if you're a single parent, you know what? I'm not against you, I'm for you. But we still have to recognize God hates divorce. Amen. Amen. Got one amen. Praise the Lord. You know what? He hates it. It creates here. I'll solve child poverty in America in 30 seconds. Ready? Stop having so much divorce in America.
Yes.
It is the one thing more than anything else that brings poverty into a child. That's just factual. Don't get upset with me. I'm just telling you facts.
Yeah.
And it not only, why? Because it creates a void. When you have two people now working, and I'm not saying that the moms and dads have, but whether they're both working or not, they're still working.
Yeah.
And they're working together. And then you're just going to split it up. And a lot of times it just split up because Satan has just lied to us and say, the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
You know what? And usually the only thing that's on the other side is just more poop.
Yeah.
Amen? See, it looks greener. You know, somebody who's married recognized that you did not marry, you know what, a perfect person. Here, let's just be honest, okay? How many recognize, you recognize it more than you've ever recognized it? You know why? Because you live with that person longer than you've ever lived with them. Yeah. And there's a point of self-righteousness because your husband has issues that you don't have, and you have issues, and vice versa. You know what? Your wife doesn't have issues. You know what? You think your wife is crazy, and the truth is she's dealing with stuff that you don't have to deal with. Amen? But you walk in this self-righteousness and think, you know what? Listen, if you were in her shoes, you'd probably be three times crazier than her. You could say amen to this. Amen? And women, you walk in the same kind of self-righteousness, but it's versus other things. You think, oh, I wouldn't do that if I... Listen, you know, walk in somebody else's shoes before you criticize. Is that right? But what we do is we spend so much time on this, and it's such a waste of time. And what we have to do is recognize, let's work together, you know what? And recognize, I can help you out in your spirituality, and you can help me out in my spirituality. But what we have to do is we have to not use our family, getting back to my point, you know what? Not use our family as excuses for unrighteousness. These are the blessings. Sometimes our jobs, these example here, sometimes our job. Oh, God, you know, bless me with this job, bless me with this job, bless me. And then he blesses you with the job, and then now you're too busy for God anymore. What are you doing? This is not right. This is not good behavior. This is not what God has called us to do. God hasn't called us to, you know what? And let me just remind you. You said, Pastor, you don't like when people aspire to greatness and aspire to wealth and aspire. Listen, aspire to whatever you want, but make sure you're aspiring first. Make sure you understand the really thing that is going to make you prosperous isn't a lot of money. It's a lot of God. Prosperity doesn't come by money. Prosperity comes in getting your act together and putting God before all these other things. And that's the same with family. You're blessed. And then all of a sudden your family is the very thing that keeps Satan comes in. And the very thing that you've been praying for and believing for and wanting for. You know what? A great job or a great career or a great all this thing. And now it's gotten the way of God. And these people, that's their excuse. You know, I'm too busy. I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. I talk to all kind of people. People come up to me and say, Pastor, I'd like to be at church, but I can't because I have to work. Here's the deal. Here's why they say that. They say that because, you know what most pastors say? Most pastors say, oh, I understand. Here's the crazy thing. That's not what God says. God said, you know what God says? That's just an excuse. And you know, let me tell you about it. Man, don't you love, isn't it? I love the word of God. Guys, that's why it's so important to come to church, especially a church like this, because you can come to church and not be placated. Be confronted. That's what God is doing. He's confronting. He's the one coming up with this story on purpose. Here's why. Because he knows people are doing this. So he comes up with this story, and he gives these examples. You know what? My family, my work, my job, my business. It's all this stuff. And he's saying, guys, let me tell you what that is. It's an excuse. It's just a bunch of smoke. It's not that, you know what? It is the truth. I'm going to prioritize other things more than God. And God just doesn't say, oh, okay. See, most pastors say, oh, I understand. I understand. Just come when you can. I know Pastor George, Pastor Lydia don't tell that to their people. Here's what I say. I say, yeah, I get it. You know what I believe? I believe in the favor of God. Yeah. So here's what you should do. Start praying for favor with the job that you have, that you can have Sundays and Wednesdays off.
Amen.
And then I go a step farther. And I say, and if you don't walk in that, if they don't give you that, then start looking for a new job.
Amen.
You know, these pastors, they'd never even say that. They'd never even say that. I salute Joaquin. See, we allow the world to tell us what prosperity is, and they don't have a clue what prosperity is. They don't have a clue what prosperity is. And then all of a sudden we obtain their prosperity, and it ruins our families, ruins our spiritual life, ruins our lives. We have nothing. And we don't understand. And I understand perfectly. Because we're seeking the possessions, not the one who is the possessor of everything.
Amen.
Including peace and love and joy and all this stuff. We're going after the wrong things. So Joaquin comes to me the other day and he says, Pastor, I'm just really troubled. And he said, I'm an assistant manager. I'm wanting to be a manager. I'm assistant manager. I want to be a manager. I don't know how it is with his job, but at Albertsons, there was a big financial difference between the second man and the first man. That was, the assistant manager made some pretty good money, but the manager made really good money. And there was a big gap. Maybe it's the same with his job. He's assistant manager. And it was a Wednesday. And they came to him and said, hey, you need to work. We're busy. We had whatever the circumstance. I don't know what it is. But you need to work. You're not scheduled, but you need to work. You're scheduled to be off at this time, but you have to stay. And Joaquin, being a good employee, said, I'm scheduled to be part of the leadership of my church. And they said, well, we don't care. You need to stay. And Joaquin said, that's okay. I'll stay. But, see, we need to be good employees. But our loyalty needs to be God before other things. And he says, I'll stay this time, but I really want to be a manager. And as a manager, I just need you guys to understand that I really need Sundays off and Wednesdays off. And I appreciated their integrity to speak back to him. And they said, well, we'll try to do that as an assistant. But if you want to be a manager, you just got to know. Your whole schedule needs to be our schedule. Why was that? Frustrating to him? Because Joaquin knew. That's not where I'm going. Do you understand?
Yeah.
See, here's what I want to say. How many men pick the job? How many men pick the money? How many men pick the promotion? And they expect, because pastors haven't told them the truth, haven't read the scripture. God is angry with these people. And read it when you get home. The rest, he says to those people that were originally invited, he said, they ain't coming. They're not going to come. I don't want to get to heaven, you know what, and recognize that I wasted my life. I don't want to get to the end of my life and recognize, man, I threw my life away for people and companies that don't even care about us. This is the truth. Man, get our priorities. You know what? What does it do? What good does it do you if you gain everything? And we're living in Christianity where people's commitment is just, Pastor, just be happy if I just come every once in a while. Get off my case, Pastor. I ain't on your case. Do whatever you want to do. But if you don't create that void, if you don't create that void, if you fill that void with all this other stuff, then all you're going to have is the stuff. And when you look at the stuff, you ever been around 4th of July and you're doing all the fireworks and then you go out the next day and what do you see? It's just all trash. That's, you're going to get to the end of your life and your life is going to be the 5th of July. And all the sparkles are all going to be gone. And that, and you're going to live your life that way for a long time. It's not you're going to get to end your life and recognize that. That's going to be your life. Why? Because that's what you chose. I've set before you blessings and cursings. Recognize what those blessings and the cursings are. Life and death. Recognize what the life and the death is. The blessings are God. The cursings are a secular, too busy, come to church when you feel like it. Just too busy to spend, you know. That's what it is. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed. I can't tell you what you're going to do because I can't tell you what you're going to do. I would just encourage you to say, man, when I'm praying in North Whittier, you can be praying in Pico Rivera. And we can both be just blessed with peace and joy. I get up from my prayer time. I'm like, I'm in a good mood. I got goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. I'm healed in Jesus' name. All the things that God provides. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And that just compounds every Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. How do you think I can just get up here and every Sunday and every Wednesday? And this is going to sound braggadocious on my part, but I'm not trying to be. But how many recognize, you know what? You come this Wednesday and you're going to get a good message. How many know you come next Sunday, you're going to get a good message? What do you think? I'm find a good message book and you know what I mean? Conjure this stuff up. No, from the heart, the mouth speaks, man. I'm not an actor. I'm not acting like, ooh, I got my actor pastor cape on today. That ain't going to happen. I just am what I am. But I'm blessed and I walk in the blessings of God because I create a hole every morning that God can fill. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. Now, if something that I said inspired you, listen to what I'm asking before you raise your hand up. Because I'm not asking if I inspired you. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking if you're willing to create a hole tomorrow. Whoa, 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 whoa. Think about the question first before you raise your hand and say yes. Because the Bible says to count the cost before you do it. Now, if you're going to create a hole tomorrow, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for the word that's gone forth today. I pray for every one of these people that in the course of their busyness, even tomorrow, they're going to commit and they're going to watch you fill that hole. They're going to create a hole of time, 15, 20, half an hour, 45 minutes, hour, whatever you lay on their heart, but they're going to commit that, they're going to make that hole, and I know you will fill it. And their life will be rocked forever. In Jesus' name I pray.